Well, welcome back, everybody, for another episode of my podcast, my Toolhouse podcast, which is Teaching, Leading, and Parenting with Emotional Intelligence and Love. And today I have the privilege of meeting and sharing some wisdom with all of you from Dr. Ron Stotz, who actually connected with me on LinkedIn because we have similar professional profiles and pedagogical interests. And I think the main one there is transformational leadership and coaching, which we both do a fair amount of. And I am, before I go any further, I know that he, again, does a lot of transformational leadership and coaching for people and guiding people both on a personal and a professional level to reach their full potential through spiritual and awareness journeys. And I want to also invite him to share a little bit about himself.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
Yeah, a little bit about myself would be, you know, in terms of, you know, you're coming from your focus on education, I suppose that would be really, I was quite successful at teaching and creating learning centers at the college level, university level, and people started asking me, you know, administrative, other teachers started asking me, well, what are you doing? Where is this success coming from? And the truth was, I didn't know. I mean, I didn't have it down to a science that I could then transfer to somebody else's, you know, information there. And so I went back to school and got a PhD and, you know, and basically started off on the psychology of learning. But the more I got into that, the more I got into the psychology of human potential. And
that
took me off onto a different road. And, you know, I was, of course, on that journey myself during that period. So it was this combination of learning it and teaching it and learning more about it as I went. So I was having a good time. But, you know, to me, I really found that there was all these things that I could teach, but unless people had a foundation to learn from, unless they had a good solid foundation of self-acceptance and love, if they had a good foundation of having healed their emotional backlog from childhood and really healed the inner child, and then none of that really landed, and only for a very small percentage was it even effective. So I still include, you know, I work with extraordinarily successful high-level leaders a lot of time, and the initial work that I'm doing with them is still taking them back into and really reconnecting and healing that inner child. And because I find that otherwise they're looking outside of themselves for answers, outside of themselves for love, outside of themselves for pretty much everything. You know, I was on a call with a potential client yesterday, and boy, to get him to look inside for any responses was very, very difficult. And that's somewhat typical, especially in higher level leadership. And so I watch them as they begin to fall in love with themselves, as they reconnect and become whole and authentic and emotionally more intelligent because they're getting in touch with their emotions and more sensitive to others and aware of the feelings of others. And that's really where the leadership comes from, because they create a trusting, supportive environment that people feel safe and supported in. And, you know, that's all of a sudden the cooperation and collaboration comes in, and that's where new levels of success and financial and productive success comes in. And you know, my hidden agenda is to create a more conscious and caring world, and I feel like high-level leaders can actually have a positive impact in that direction.
Oh, I love that, because my I was the same. I taught for a number of years, and as you know, I spent 35 years in Montessori. And after teaching for, you know, a decade and a half, I moved into administration, and I realized that working with adults is similar to working with children. because we all need the same things. We all want the same. We all want belonging and significance, and that's kind of the underlying thing that's going on. But they had a lot more defense mechanisms and baggage and strategies that they used that the children are mostly, especially the in, up through elementary, are what you see is what you get, and it's not like that with adults. So I, like you, felt like I needed more tools. So when I went back to graduate school, it was for transformational leadership and coaching. And I also spent a big chunk of that time, as my colleagues did, unpacking myself and understanding myself. And the whole program was really about understanding yourself. And we all form, childhood is about formation. And then we have the opportunity, and in my mind, the responsibility of transforming into who we want to be. And I think that that's very difficult for many adults because, like you said, they're looking externally, at the world to kind of,
Lack of self-awareness, yeah.
be what they want it to be. And it really, all of that really, my experience in graduate school really tied in with Montessori, because in Montessori, we're very committed to helping children develop an internal locus of control, which really serves them well as they grow older and become adults, and they're able to make decisions out of a deep sense of integrity and value system rather than, am I going to get in, making decisions based on, am I going to get in trouble or am I going to get a reward for this? So I think you and I have a lot of similarities in our approach,
You're
to coaching
developing
people.
authentic people. Kids
Yes.
through Montessori become more authentic, more connected, more trusting of themselves, and
Yes.
they're
And
saying things is not from that fear base of ex needing acceptance and love from others, because they have
right.
more acceptance
Yes.
and love through the process. So great.
Yeah. And two other thoughts I have based on everything you just shared was Montessori is all about reaching the full, helping children reach their full potential. So I'm also very committed and passionate about people reaching their full potential and helping them to do so. And reparenting. We did a lot of that work too in my graduate program. It's, you can reparent yourself. And I'm sure that you studied Alfred Adler. I'm a huge fan, of his practices with individual psychology and, understanding that our defense mechanisms are clues to the need to what we actually need and what we're missing. And once we're aware of that, then we can start to fulfill ourselves, fall in love with ourselves, and then have meaningful connections with other people in the world. So, as you know, with Tool House, so I am a coach. I can coach. I do emergence coaching with individuals. And I would say that because of my experience and my professional resume and work that I've done, my niche is parenting and schools. So I do mostly training seminars and coaching of parents and educators and school leaders, and then overall school consultation. So I just wanted to, I hope it's okay with you. We can focus kind of on child development and what happens before these individuals become the adults that you work with a lot. And then I work with some.
Well, as I shared, when we were just chatting earlier, I get really high-level execs. Certainly, some would still be in their 40s, but often in their 50s, and some in their 60s. And so in looking at, well, what's your biggest challenge? What's your biggest problem? When I really start taking them down into the source of that, it's always from early childhood. Look at their dream, they can begin to see, well, this is where I am and this is where I want to be. What's holding me back from that? And oftentimes they speak in terms of, well, I need to unlock my potential, or I want to move up to the next level. Those are imagery really that tell them that there's something that's holding them back. And you know, I had Joseph Campbell was a key mentor of mine. I just, you know, I'm continually amazed by the influence that he had back then. And you know, but he's really saying, you know, you have to journey into that inner cave to find the treasure you
Absolutely.
see. And that treasure, of course, is yourself, that self-acceptance and love that every child wants more than anything else. So, you know, as you, that's probably one of the key things that I'm switching is, and I heard you talking about it too, is people are looking outside of themselves for, you know, should they say something, be something, do something, how, you know, how should we act, is really determined by what's acceptable, you know, what's going to get me the acceptance and love that I want.
Right.
You know, as they heal and reconnect with that inner child, as they become whole and authentic for with who they are, they, the big shift is, or at least the initial big shift, is they begin to look inside for that moment. And when there's an indicator like a struggle or a challenge or emotional issue comes up for them, rather than looking outside at what's going on, they immediately breathe and look deeply within and really take a moment to breathe into and breathe deeper into what the source of that emotion's about or whatever they're feeling or the challenge might be. And the beauty of that is they're also simultaneously accessing the part of themselves that they need to move into and through whatever the challenge might be, you know?
Yes.
You know, you get a lot of people talking about, well, I don't feel like I'm enough. And I jokingly say, well, you're really not. And of course, they go, you know, what? You're not supposed to say that. But the truth is, the next sentence is, you're more than enough. You just need to access more from within you. And that's really, once they learn to do that.
Right. It's like begin, that.
Yeah.
That one quote, and I don't remember who it's from. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. But, you know, our biggest, what we're afraid of most is not our failure, but it's our it's our magnificence.
Yeah.
You know?
Angela... somebody, yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. Jean-Paul Sartre's, you know, existential philosophy, where he says that when you're standing at the edge of a cliff, you know, you have butterflies in your stomach, not because you're afraid you're going to fall, but you're afraid you're going to jump. You're going to jump, and not jump to end it, but jump to your magnificence. So yes, and when I'm coaching and working with people too, you know, I really help them to understand, you know, with parents and children, and you know, there's no magic. You know, I can give you all these tools, you know, to help encourage and empower your children, but until you start to internalize those themselves, it's transactional.
Yeah.
You know, and the children know that, so it doesn't really work. And right. The thing is that most of the time when people are bothering us, we're inviting that behavior. So if we can understand what we're doing to invite that behavior, then we can shift that, because we can't change other people. And I make sure, you know, I say that over and over again, that you can't expect people to change because you don't like the way they're behaving, but you can always shift what you're doing to invite a different response. So, yeah, I agree with everything that you're saying. And, you know, I think you and I are really, tuned into what is it that children need. And I heard you say that, you know, what do you think that children need more than anything else is love and acceptance.
And I've asked that question all over the world, and in any language, everyone knows that answer. So it's universally understood truth. And so, yeah, if you can begin to shift from looking outside for that love and acceptance, because nobody else really loves themselves unconditionally, so they can't give you that unconditional love that you want.
Exactly. So,
and that really becomes a journey of self-acceptance, so that you kind of reconnect with all those disparate parts that you let go of to be accepted by others, and reintegrate and become whole and authentic, and all of a sudden that unconditional acceptance and love, you know, you do find it from within yourself. And that's what makes a very conscious and high quality, high level leader. is one who has that emotional intelligence and ability to, you know, something I find myself often sharing is our relationship with ourselves is reflected in our relationship with others.
Absolutely.
So if you're a leader and you're having trouble with people not doing something you want, or, you know, look inside, look at yourself, look at what they're reacting to, or you know, seeing that they're responding in an inappropriate or unsupportive way.
Yes, and you know, what you're making me think of is the chancellor at the Wright Graduate University, Mike Zwell, once said, you know, if you do the work to unpack yourself and fall in love with yourself, it's a natural desire to want to share a life with somebody, you know, have a partner of sorts. But when you're in love with yourself and, you know, you're exploring a relationship and you find out that that person doesn't want the same things that you do, it's okay. Okay. You know, because I'm okay by myself. I mean, I would like to share, but I'm also okay. And then all of a sudden, the whole idea of jealousy and all the games people play with each other, it sounds so nonsensical, you know, in that perspective. But not to undermine that it is a lot of work, you know, that most people need to go through. And it's confronting and it's hard.
It's also a wonderful adventure. It's also a wonderful adventure. I mean, if you get to a place of you're able to breathe into and through whatever's there, you know, the emotions and feelings and unacknowledged things, you begin to breathe into them and you become curious and you become more present and then you're doing it from a mindful place.
Absolutely. And
those are all tools that you need to take into becoming a better person, a better teacher, a better leader. You know, that's the empowerment. You know, I mean, we're talking transformation, and it's really easy to give information. You can make a lot of money giving information because people feel comfortable and safe, you know, reading a book about something or, you know, hearing you talk about something. But the transformation really is the willingness to step in and go deeper within yourself, to really go into, as I mentioned earlier, you know, Joseph Campbell talks about that inner cave, and it, you know, we've got those cave doors so tightly shut, you know, protecting all those different aspects of ourselves, the emotional backlog of ourselves, you know, of our childhood, that we don't know who we are. I mean, we're, you know, it's like you're driving a car down the road and you've got, you know, your foot on the gas pedal, but you've also got your foot on the brake. And it's amazing how, you know, successful some people can be with that, but of course,
so much
to wear them, you know.
So much fear, you know, instead of riding through the fear, we, you know, maintain a distance from it.
So I mean, a lot of the transformation is more not how to push on the gas pedal more, but how to take your foot off the brake and really experience the fullness of your innate ability, you know, when you're ready. Playing full on with all the, you know, the neurological connections, entire, you know, brain integration and abilities.
And, and then you can develop tools of repair and resiliency, and then you give yourself permission to take healthy risks.
Right.
You know, which is also part of reaching our full potential. You know, is exploring the world joyfully.
Right.
So what, you know, I have my Montessori way of understanding children and my positive discipline way and my way of helping parents and teachers, you know, to support children on their journey of their full potential. What do you feel is, you know, something parents should really think about in terms of advocating and helping their children to reach their full potential?
You know, the truth of that is, I used to do traditional therapy for decades, a couple of decades, you know, working with families and relationships and that type of thing. And it wasn't uncommon for parents to bring their child to me, and child maybe hadn't spoken for a year, or they were having emotional outbursts or some sort of challenges. And I would always, spend a little bit of time with the child and talk to them and find out where they were coming from or whatever. But then I would recommend to the parents that they take my program, Creating Your Inspired Life, where they heal their own emotional backlog and all of that.
Yeah.
Because
it's really about them.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Inevitably, by the, and it only takes a couple of months. And within a couple of months, all of a sudden, the child is completely healed. And I haven't even worked with a child.
It's really,
the child, all of us as children, we take on our parents' stuff. Whatever we shove down, we take in whatever, they aren't dealing with, we take on, and we end up really developing emotional patterns and, similarities to their fears, to their limitations. And we, I think that's what I really support people doing, is become the person in your family who is willing to go through that emotional family tree and really cut out all the dead wood and trim it up.
And that's such good modeling.
Yeah.
And I use a similar approach when I do my positive discipline trainings and workshops. At the very beginning, I say, we're going to be working on you, exploring you a lot, because it's really, your children's behavior and the family dynamics that are going on are really about you. It's not specifically about your child and their behavior. What is the, what's going on behind the scenes kind of thing? And what are you, again, inviting from your children? And why do you even know why? It's, that behavior is at the tip of the iceberg, but everything else is in this subconscious. So they have to dig into that.
And as you're saying that, what I see all the time too, is the same as in organizations. Often the higher level, the CEO or the, founder, all they're doing is playing out their emotional backlog, and that creates a lot of the problems that they see in their employees.
Yes.
So they come to me and go, well, how do I get more effort out of my employees? How do I get better, so they're communicating better? And again, I send them through the work. I, guide them on that journey of inner healing. And all of a sudden, those things begin to dissipate and change and transform.
Yeah.
That's
also language that I use. It's your classroom reflections of you. Your victim's reflections of you. And when you complain about a student, because, the parts of us, ourselves that we've disowned, we don't like to see that in other people. And so when they're complaining about one particular child, I'll say, write down 10 ways that that child's just like you. And they're like, oh my gosh. It's such a revelation, because they realize, and I have a perfect example of that. My oldest daughter, brilliant, blow test scores out of the water, very gifted athletically, and organizational skills, I guess people would use the term space cadet, in some ways, losing her lunchbox, losing this, losing that. And I had those same tendencies, growing up, because I, lived in my head a lot, I guess. And I recognized that, and I worked really, really hard to overcome those and put systems and routines in place in my life so that I that wouldn't hold me back, as much. And so it really drove me crazy to see it in her. And then, we butted heads a lot, when she was growing up. And I didn't realize until later in my adulthood, when I started exploring and doing the personal growth work, what was really going on. But these people drive us crazy because they remind us of the things we don't like about ourselves.
And the great thing about, and I'm sure it's true for schools too, but there's like 50 years of leadership research, and it shows that if you're more what they call post-conventional or a more conscious leader, quite literally their organizations are always about 40% more productive and profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So if business is really about making money and being productive, it's like, well, good, then lead a more conscious organization.
Yeah, because everybody feels safe.
Yeah, you're going to be feel better. They'll feel better. They'll go home and treat their family better. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, we've created a more conscious and caring world just
right.
through the transformation of the leader rather than, you know, having everybody deal with their childhood limitations. Mm-hmm. Issues.
Yeah.
The empowerment that comes from the healing. Yeah.
There's an exercise that I do based on some work by Stephen Glenn, mm-hmm. Who created developing capable young people. Mm-hmm. Model, and he's now deceased, but he talks about three perceptions and four skills that we want to help children develop. We want to help them feel capable, valuable, and powerful. Everybody wants that, right? And we want to help them develop interpersonal, intrapersonal, systematic, and judgment skills. And mm-hmm. the judgment skills are really about that internal locus of control. Mm-hmm. And so when I share that model, he calls it the significant seven, three perceptions and four skills. I start by having everybody dig into where they are with yeah. their perceptions, you know, and their skills, because children do what we do, not what we say. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly modeling.
Well,
go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt that. But yeah, it's exciting to me because perception is really nothing more than a reflection of your level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The more healed you are, the more present you are, the more you're breathing, present, and curious, the more conscious you are. And the more conscious you are, that determines how you see, experience, and react to everything that comes
mm-hmm.
into you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you aren't, the amygdala isn't running the show anymore. The forebrain begins to develop and blossom.
Yes.
Quieter mind, and all of a sudden you're dealing from a much more conscious, considerate, more inclusive place. And so, yeah, it
makes right.
Yeah.
And then your constituents feel capable, valuable, and powerful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And you're more predictable, which also helps them feel safe. So, mm-hmm. yes. Tell me. Can you talk a little bit more about the program you offer and
sure.
how people can find it and
Just going to ronstotts.com, which is STOTTS.com, that's going to take them to my website, which really shows everything or gives them access to everything. But, you know, it's the 8-week program is called Creating Your Inspired Life. And it really, it is the foundation that you need to have so that you can, you know, it's just like if you're building something. The foundation is the first thing you have to put in, and the bigger the building, the bigger the structure, the deeper, the stronger that foundation needs to be. And that is the problem that I see with most leaders, is they don't have that foundation to build on. So we have to go in and really restructure that and strengthen it, and in relationship to what is your highest aspiration, your mm-hmm. greatest goal that you'd like to get into in your life. And so, you know, perception is really something that we can control. Just if we've healed, if we learn to breathe, if we learn to be present and mindful, then all of a sudden, you know, mm-hmm. as things come into our life, they aren't throwing us off. They're just indicators. You know, a struggle, right. an emotion is really nothing more than an indicator that, oh, mm-hmm. I need to pay attention. I need to breathe into this and see what's ready to be healed. I mean, because mm-hmm. it's an indicator that something is ready.
Right.
So,
and so, yeah. Do you have people, you know, for example, worked as a head of school for independent schools for years and worked under, you know, I was an employee of a board of trustees. And so this never happened to me, but I know that there are school leaders whose boards might recommend mm-hmm. that school leader maybe,
right.
you
yeah.
know, get connected with you and take this course. So have you been in situations where people are referred to you out of kind of a mandate and they're resistant? I mean, because in my experience, you kind of have to want to be coached to have successful coaching. I just wanted to know your thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, I absolutely true. It's no fun for me and it's no fun for them if I'm dragging them along the path, you know. And I really do. I remember a couple of older neighbors, kids They were guides. They would take people into Alaska and Canada for fishing and hunting expeditions. And, they knew where to take people. They knew how to guide them on those journeys. And I really see myself as nothing but a guide on this journey of
Oh, I love that.
empowerment and leadership. And so, to be on, I know the path well. I can turn it into a really joyful adventure. But if I'm dragging somebody down that path or convincing them or coaxing them all the way, we don't get very far. And they don't get, they get information, but not the transformation that I really feel is critical for them to really enjoy their life and to create the life that they truly want. So, yeah.
So in Montessori, we refer to our teachers as guides,
Oh, good.
because we're guiding students to their full potential, and we follow the child as much as we can. We have a responsibility to teach them, a certain amount of curriculum and make sure that they're competent, at, grade level and above, hopefully. And yet we follow them by seeing what they're interested in. And seeing where socially and emotionally they can grow and develop, because socially, when their social and emotional development or intelligence grow and are higher, the academics come much easier. So, and then we follow their interests. How can we use dinosaurs to bring in lessons on biology and math and writing? And, all students have gifts and talents, and then some areas that they like to avoid. So, how can we use their interest to kind of pull them in? So, I love that you use the word guide in your work with adults, because that's what we do in Montessori. We guide the children.
And it gives them the perspective that it hasn't been done to them or for them. They've done it themselves. And exactly. When somebody finishes with my work, they shouldn't go, "Oh, Ron, the guru or something." It's like, no, you did it. Congratulations to you for
I love
breathing
that.
and letting go, breathing and becoming.
Yeah,
I
that's awesome. So
learned.
it sounds like this course is great for anyone, parents who want to really focus on parenting, educators who want to focus on their classrooms. And that's the other thing that I've noticed too, not to get off track, but that I think a lot of, and this is just my personal philosophy, but an observation really, is that a lot of people get into education, and sometimes Montessori education, because it's alternative, to heal their own childhood.
I think that's
But they're not conscious of it. They're not aware of that, and then they bring all this baggage into the classroom, and then they're disappointed that this is not this wonderful career that they thought they were going to have. So I can see that your program, would be great for educators, definitely school leaders, and then
For
any.
decades, I offered it to, it was open public, yeah. But yeah,
Yeah. Okay.
in terms of teachers, you can almost look at what grade they teach and know, that'll identify what age they got stuck
Yes, totally. It's,
at.
yes, as a Montessori leader, it's we. I would joke because our toddler students, children between the ages of 0 and 3, they need a lot of consistency and routine and order so that they can begin to make choices on their own through that sense of internal order later on in life. If they don't have that external order younger, then they hold on to needing that. And you can see it reflected in in your staff. Kind of who to go to for implementing systems and routines in order, and who to go to for the big ideas, and because you're right, they do get stuck in those different planes.
Beauty of it is literally it takes a couple of months. People spend their whole life being at the effect of things and limited by things and being afraid. And really, within a couple of months, they can do the in-depth healing that gives them the level of healing they need and the tools that they need so that they can continue to grow throughout their life, but in a really enjoyable and empowering way. And they
Right.
become better parents, they become better leaders, they become better people.
Have
And
better relationships. And
exactly.
so do you, Dr. Ron, do you offer only one-on-one training through this, or do you do couples? Do you do groups? Do you work with groups at all or couples?
You know, certainly through the years I've done, you know, I had centers in Switzerland and here, where I work with large groups and everything. Nice. And I still am open to doing that. It's just, of course, the group has to be comfortable enough to be in that, you know, vulnerable environment with each other. And so that's the key to that. But
right.
I certainly love working with couples. I'm a huge fan of relationship. And, you know, I've only been married 33, 34 years, but I'm still learning. You know?
Me too. Definitely. It's a continual journey for sure. It never stops. And you worked with children too.
I do, you know, and in all honesty, I find that most of the childhood issues really are handled, 90% handled when the parents get their issues healed.
Mm-hmm.
The child then has that stable base to work from. They aren't at the effect of that, the parents' suppressed emotional baggage. And you know, and the child just begins to feel more confident, comfortable, trusting, like mm-hmm. you know, unconditional love. And usually they learn that, well, just I'll get along with whatever love I can get. But they do need a stability and a safety to be themselves. Mm-hmm. And the parents, you know, and feeling comfortable with themselves are going to be able to give them that safety. And that's where the comes in.
And to see the world as an abundant place to joyfully explore rather than scarcity, you know, that the world is scarce.
Yeah, I often wonder whether the moment of birth doesn't really affect us in the sense of, am I being kicked out of God or welcome into the world?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, that's an interesting
covering of that.
Yeah, that's an interesting visualization and philosophical contemplation there.
Yeah.
Okay, well, do you have any other last thoughts that you would like to share that we didn't discuss?
Well, you know, it's, you know, I just actually was talking to my wife a few minutes before the call, and she's dealing with her father who's going through dementia and challenges, and he's kind of looking at, I don't know what to do, I don't know, you know. And what he's looking for is a focus. And whether you're a child or whether you're going through your own transformation, whether you're a leader, whether you're going into older age and not remembering things as well, the key and the simplest tool and the most empowering tool is that focus on your breath. Really training yourself to breathe into and be present with your breath. Because if you can learn to, you know, when something comes up, if you can learn to stop and breathe and really observe what's going on, what are you feeling, what's actually going on, and begin to recognize what the best next step is and then proceed on that. I call that the stop process. Stop,
mm-hmm.
breathe, observe, and proceed.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, you know, is something we came up when I was co-director of the Brain Integration Center. And the truth of it is if you practice that and begin to expand the ability of that, that's really turns into mindful living. You don't
mm-hmm.
need to be stopping, you're just continually are aware of your breathing and curious and present.
Yeah.
And proceeding forward in your life in an empowered way.
So. You know, that was Dr. Montessori's big mantra too, was observation.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, yeah. If we sit and observe our classrooms, our lessons are planned for the next day.
Exactly.
You know, because we know what the children need through that power of observation. And I love, you know, the idea of doing that for ourselves too, you know, observing what's happening.
Yeah, you have to be present enough.
Mm-hmm.
And not, what should I do or who should I be, or, you know, all those
running around real fast and trying to fix things when really we could just be there to guide the energy.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, well, this has been really wonderful. We have so many commonalities. So it was a pleasure to kind of dive deeper into that. I knew that before we jumped on, but now I recognize that we have even more, you know, common philosophies and professional strategies. So this has been great. And if you could just say again how people can find you, what the name of your course is. I'm guessing they can Google your course name or they can just look you up on your website.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all over, LinkedIn and Facebook, and you can YouTube, so just if they go to ronstotz.com, they're really going to be able to access all of that, and they can set up. Everybody's welcome to give me, set up a call for what I call a deeper look, and see really where they are and what's going on, and what direction
Okay.
most supportive for them.
And it's RONSTOTTS
You got it. Yeah.
dot com.
Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. And I hope we can continue to talk and brainstorm and
Yeah.
grow and help each other grow in our philosophy and in our businesses.
I like that idea. All right. You be well. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you.